In 2010, me and my wife were starting our new life in Raleigh, North Carolina. We both recently graduated with our masters. I got a job teaching at NC State, and my wife secured a job at a local hospital. After thousands of dollars of student debt, all the hard work seemed to pay off finally. That student debt is a whole other horror story for another day, though. In the late summer months, we started our move from our old home in Philadelphia to North Carolina. We had most of our belongings already sent over to our new home, except for one truckload that we were going to drive down ourselves. We rented one of those moving trucks and decided we were going to take that truckload in the middle of the night. I'm not the most confident driver in a truck, so we figured making this trip in the middle of the night would be most ideal because traffic would be less intense. For the most part, this was an accurate plan. Traffic was light, and the several-hour drive went splendidly for the first big chunk of the trip. With about 2 hours left on our drive, I ended up running something over and basically exploding the tire. I was able to pull over safely because there was virtually no traffic where we were. The tire was already instantly flat. Whatever I ran over in the road wasn't just a nail or something. My tire seemed like it was annihilated. We remained calm and cool for a moment as we devised a plan. We didn't know if we had to call the moving truck company first, or our insurance, or someone else. We looked in the folder that the rental truck employee gave us, and they had a special number to call in case of any traffic emergency. We deemed it an emergency and called the number. After a couple of hoops, we got someone to come out and help us fix the tire, but it was going to be a little while before they showed up. A major inconvenience, but we figured that we could just sit tight for a while and watch YouTube or something on our phones. In hindsight, we forgot about the most important role. In any type of accident, you should alert the authorities. This would be a mistake on our part that almost had a definite disastrous outcome. Only a few minutes after getting off the phone with the rental company, my wife nudged me and said, "Hey, there's someone behind the truck. I can see them in the mirror." I looked in the mirror and sure enough, with the red lights of the truck reflecting off his black sweatshirt, was a person. I kept my eye on him for a second, making sure he wasn't going to move. Again, not sure why I didn't just call the police, but the understanding and empathetic person that I am, my mind didn't jump to the police right away. And while I was staring at him in the mirror, she nudged me again, and now with nervousness and fear in her voice, she said, "Oh my God, look." I looked up from the mirror, and another person was in front of the truck. I looked around, and there were no other cars. These people had to have come from the trees on the side of the desolate road we were on. Within seconds, two more individuals emerged from behind the truck. It was a young woman and a man, probably in their early 20s or something, and the woman gestured for me to roll down my window. I cracked it so I could hear her. In a soft but friendly voice, she said, "Hi there. I notice you guys are in a bit of a jam. Not the good kind of jam. But anyway, would you like us to change your tire? We're all fairly handy when it comes to cars, aren't we, guys?" I looked at my wife and noticed she had texted 911, something I didn't even know you could do. I looked back at the girl outside and I said, "Thanks, ma'am. That's sweet of you guys. The truck company's going to be here any minute, though, and they're going to be fixing it for us." The woman, who never broke this hypnotic stare and over-the-top smile, looked around and thought for a second. Still smiling and chipper as ever, she responded,
"I see. Well, that's too bad. Hey, sir, it's cold out here. Do you think maybe we could get in the back of the truck until your repair guy shows up?"
I was completely torn up. In any ordinary situation, I'm the guy who would pick up these kids, give them a ride, feed them, or anything. I also preach that even though there are horrible people in the world, most people are inherently good, but the situation just felt bad. The woman was smiling, but the man behind her was a big, burly man and stoic as can be. He didn't break a smile or even blink, I feel like. The person in the front of the truck was still standing there, and the person behind the truck was now out of sight. I tried to keep that nugget of information in the back of my mind, though. Getting out and running was also out of the question. Inside the back of the truck wasn't just furniture, but All our antiques, valuables, family heirlooms, and our personal information. It was not stuff that I just wanted to abandon. At this point, I was just hoping that they would either leave, the 911 text would work faster, or the rental truck company would just show up, but at this point, it didn't seem like any of that was happening soon. I responded to her question with sorrow in my voice.
Sorry, ma'am. We're just gonna wait alone. There was a rest stop a few miles back that way. You can go get your friends some food and stay warm.
The empath in me thought to kill them with kindness. I suggested that and then dropped a $50 bill out of the crack of the window. The money fell onto the ground and neither one of the two even moved an inch. And this is when I knew we were in trouble. The person in the front of the truck started to approach the side where the other two were standing. The one from the back who disappeared was now on the passenger side right on top of the door. I looked back at the young woman, who was still smiling, and she said,
"You know, I think we'll just take the keys, sir. How about it, guys? Let's get these keys."
And the big, burly fella moved in front of the woman and started to ferociously try and open my door. At the time, the other man was trying to open my wife's door. In a full panic at this point, I tried to dial 911 again. And while speaking to the dispatch, the lights from the cop car my wife texted could be seen over the horizon. I told the dispatch woman everything that was happening. The cop pulled up, got out of his car, and shouted something at the group of people surrounding the truck. The woman turned and faced the cop, but didn't move from the side of the truck, and she shouted back,
"Hey, officer! These two stole our truck! We're just trying to get our keys! Could you pretty please help us?"
From the mirror, I saw the cop talk on his radio, and moments later, he told everyone around the van to back away and get on the ground. The three men obliged in moving back, but didn't get on the ground. The woman looked at me, then back at the cop, and said,
"You guys are silly. Bye-bye."
In an instant, all four of the potential robbers fled into the tree line. The cop yelled and attempted to chase after them, but only made it to the tree line and then started to radio for help instead. In just a minute or two, several more cops appeared from over the horizon. The first relief I felt since this whole ordeal started. When the cops came, I told the cops everything that I laid out here. All of this transpired within just a couple of minutes. The repair truck came soon after and got us all situated, and we were on our way. What was most unfortunate was that this was most definitely a setup. The cops informed me that they found a thin strip that was covered in dozens of nails. And that was what I didn't see, and I ran over. The nail strip was an intentionally made item to rob or harm an unexpected victim who traveled that desolate road in the middle of the night. I didn't pursue this with the law anymore, even though I probably should have. Some people just get dealt a bad hand and make horrible mistakes. I just hope these young folks find their way in life and don't have the chance to hurt anyone else. In 2016, I decided I was going to move out of my hometown and make it all by myself across the country. My entire extended family all lived in my hometown, and none of my cousins or any other family members had any desire to leave. I wanted to be the one who changed that for my family. Of course, they were upset, being that my family is extremely close, but it was time to experience this world outside of my own backyard. I moved from a small town in Idaho to a somewhat small town in Maine. I was so excited to start my life in Maine. I was told that the town that I was moving to had a small summer tourist boom, but most of the time it was quiet and scenic, which is exactly what I wanted. I visited a few months before the move and met a lot of locals who all seemed so lovely. The community was so friendly, and it appeared as if though everyone there just watched each other's backs. The time finally came, and I moved with my fiancé, Ricky. The move was mostly harmless, a few lost tempers, but ultimately it went smoothly, and by 6 p.m. we were inside our new home. Unfortunately, the blissful enjoyment of our new home didn't last very long. At some point in the middle of the night, I didn't see the time, we were awoken by a strange sound. It almost sounded like a door slamming. Ricky got out of bed and went to go see. When he returned to the bedroom several minutes later, he said nothing seemed strange or out of place. However, the time it took for him to check and come back seemed way too long. When I asked him what took so long, he told me that the front door was unlocked, which isn't like us, but he said that it was possible with all the excitement from the day that he may have left it unlocked. So, he spent a few minutes looking around the house just in case whatever we heard was an intruder. Thankfully, no intruders, whatever the sound was gone now. He proceeds to kiss me goodnight and told me not to worry about it, and we go to bed. That night was rough. I couldn't sleep at all. Call it women's intuition, or call it whatever you want, but something deep down just didn't feel right. That morning we had our coffee and continued to decorate and set up our new home. It wasn't until about 1 p.m. that we finally got ready to leave the house, and on the front steps was a package with a note. And the note just said, "Welcome. Enjoy the house." Ricky grabbed the package and opened it up inside, and it was a drinking glass. Just a regular drinking glass. It looked old, but there was nothing special about it. He laughed and made some jokes about people in Maine being just weird or something, and I laughed, but mostly felt this certain sense of uneasiness. I just knew that something was wrong about this. After the drinking glass package, we went to the store and ran all our necessary errands. Moving is really exhausting. Sometimes you don't realize all the stuff you need and forget until you're all settled in. That night we had dinner, got the internet set up, and watched a movie together. I felt off and anxious the entire evening. We got into bed at around midnight, and shortly after midnight we heard three loud bangs. Neither one of us was asleep yet, as we had just got into bed a little while ago. Ricky made his way to the door slowly, and before he could answer the door, bang, bang, bang. Three loud bangs reverberated through the house again. Ricky shouted from our side of the door,
"Who is it?"
And what I heard next surprised me. A very old woman shakily shouted,
"Please, I need help. There's an intruder out here and I'm not safe."
My fiancé responded,
"Okay, just hang tight, I'm calling the police."
The woman shrieked almost instantly,
"No, please, let me in, they're coming."
I stood in the doorway, clenching my sweater. Ricky turned to me, looking for my input, and I just couldn't speak. I just shrugged. If this woman truly was in danger, we were just leaving her for whatever may be out there. Ricky motioned for me to get into the closet that was right outside our bedroom and to call the police. I got into the closet right away and called the authorities. Once he heard me whispering to the dispatch, Ricky opened the door and some very old, frail woman came barreling inside. She started to yell at Ricky,
"Shut the door right away! I saw them out there!"
Ricky didn't say anything, much like me. He was trying to process what was even happening. The old woman said again,
Who else is in the house?"
Ricky looked at her and said, "It's just me in the house. Now, here, sit down. Take a deep breath. Relax, I can call the police." The woman became frantic again and started to pace around the living room and said,
"My husband is out there. Please, please, you need to help him. You need to let him hide in here or they'll get him."
Ricky looked sympathetic, but told the old woman,
"Listen, I'm sorry, ma'am. If it's not safe out there, I'm going to call the police now. They'll be able to help."
With the flip of a switch, the old woman stopped with the erratic behavior, and in a much deeper and almost sinister-sounding voice, she said,
"Open the door now, or I'll drain the life out of you."
Ricky was not amused. He looked at the old woman, pointed at the door, and said,
"What? You get out right now."
The old woman skipped to the door like a freaking child, and when she opened the door, two much younger and much larger men ran in and began to tackle my fiancé to the ground. I stayed hidden the best I could in the closet and watched the struggle from the crack in the door. I held my breath that the police would be there any second. I could see the men kicking Ricky, and I could hear Ricky coughing and struggling, all while the old woman cheered and cackled. I don't know exactly how long it was. It was probably only moments, but the police lights could be seen through the windows. All three intruders ran out the back door, as if they knew exactly where the door was. On the way out the door, the old woman grabbed the package with the glass and she yelled,
"Enjoy the house, Ricky!"
The fact that somehow she knew his name made me cry, even more than I already was, and by the time the cops got inside, the intruders were out the door and gone. Ricky got to his knees and struggled to get to his feet after the beating he received. We gave the police all the information we could think of, the random package with the note, which the woman took, so we didn't even have that in our possession. We told them that the intruders seemed to know the layout of the house well, and we were able to give the cops a mostly accurate description of the intruders, as they weren't wearing masks at all. The fact that I could see their faces and eyes made them so much scarier. The two men looked sort of clean-cut, both young, and they were bigger and muscular-looking, and both had a little bit of scruff, but the neat kind of scruff. One dirty blondish, and the other had dark hair. The one with the darker hair was balding, and the other man had his hair pulled into a bun. The older woman was extremely frail and small-looking, and she had this skin that looked as if though it were almost dripping off of her body. She had long, straight white hair, and from what I could see from my vantage point, no teeth, and I'm not sure about that last bit. The police were unable to catch these intruders, but that didn't matter to us. The next day we stayed in a hotel for a few nights and then moved back to Idaho. Being alone with no family during that ordeal nearly broke me, and then, more than ever, I needed my family. I still live in Idaho to this day, and I have no intentions of ever moving away after that nightmare. What's most frustrating is that I never did get my answers. I have no idea why we were targeted. I can see the events played out in my head as if it were yesterday, and it still makes me sick. The most frustrating and downright horrifying detail of the story is the details that my fiancé told me after we had already moved home to Idaho. Information he didn't tell the cops because he said it wouldn't have mattered anyway. That first night with the loud noise we had heard, Ricky said the door was unlocked. Well, that's true, but it was more than unlocked. The front door was wide open, and so was the back door. The door the intruders ran out of the second night. Whoever these monsters were, they were in my home the night before. I have not slept right since this ordeal, and I'm not sure that I'll ever sleep right again.
So this happened back when I first moved in with my most recent ex-girlfriend. We had rented a small apartment in a city that was well known for crime in my country. It was cheap and it was close by to the city center where we both went to university, so it was perfect at the time. However, as stated before, it was also extremely dangerous and run down. For example, homeless people lived in our communal rubbish rooms downstairs out by the car park. And you could probably find a needle or drug bag every square foot of the surrounding area, and not to mention the sounds of police sirens a few times a night. But as I said, it was just a place for the time being. Also, for some context, I'm gay, and I'm a girl. I'm average height, but quite stocky. Nothing scary, but I was definitely larger than my small petite girlfriend at the time. We went to bed one night, and all was normal, and as I'm trying to fall asleep, my ex tells me that she's hungry and she wants a pizza. So she pulls out her phone, sits up, and is ordering herself some Domino's, and she then asks if I want anything. Being tired and it already being almost midnight, I declined, but I told her to be safe when collecting it. I let her know that if she felt unsafe, I'd be more than happy to get it with her. After a few minutes, I drifted off to sleep. The last thing I heard was her tapping on her phone, still ordering. I awoke later on to my phone ringing for some reason. My heart began to beat erratically, and I shot up to grab my phone. It was my ex-girlfriend's name, and she was no longer in the bed with me. Now, I had only been asleep for about an hour at this point, but through my sleepy haze, I managed to quickly answer the phone, and I then remembered that she must have ordered her pizza. My ex was hysterical and scared, speaking extremely fast.
But the pizza guy said he's not that far away, so I've come down to wait. And there's a group of men in the car, and they're trying to get me to get inside of it.
She cries on the phone to me. I race to get ready and burst out of my apartment, all while trying to calm her down. She then tells me that they had tried to force her in the car, and they then began ordering her in the vehicle with them, and that they're now laughing at her. As I mentioned before, I'm nothing scary, so I knew I wouldn't have been able to take these men on physically. So as I'm running down to the first set of stairs, I see that the window's open. I tell my ex to come back inside, and she tells me she's in the doorway to the block, meaning I'm just above her. Knowing that she's now safe away from them, I peek out of the large window to then see a black Toyota parked in the do not park area of our car park, which is right by the door. Now, not knowing what else to do, I shout down to them. I'm telling them to back the hell off and that I'm gonna get all my brothers to go down there, which was definitely a lie. The men weren't sure where I was at first, and I could see them moving their heads around to look. They had their interior light on, and they were all dressed in dark clothes. One of them caught me leaning out of the window, and then cursed at me to mind my own business. I had so much adrenaline and anger that I just started to curse back at them, calling them all sorts of names. It wasn't until I just randomly started shouting,
"Dad, come over here!"
behind me up the set of stairs, and then some random male-sounding name, did they start their car and book it from the parking lot. My girlfriend at the time met me halfway on the stairs, and I decided to wait inside by the doors with her for her food. I'm so glad that nothing else happened, and that she managed to get back to the doors in time before anything else went on. The area that my ex was and where the doors were was honestly about 15 feet, meaning she literally was just outside of her home when this happened. Luckily, the doors to that building were thick and metal, and they only required a little fob to get in, and not an actual key, which would have taken a lot longer to open. I just really hope those men never do that to anyone else again.
I was 14 years old, and my mom and I had been living in a 3-bedroom double-wide trailer ever since we left my dad. My mom worked a full-time job, which meant that from Monday to Friday, I would have the house for myself for about 2 hours after getting home from school and before she got home from work. I usually would spend my time on my computer or working on writing my D&D campaign. And in no time at all, my mom would be home. At least, that was when I felt comfortable in my house. That all changed, though, one day when I found myself walking in on a burglary in progress. I had just gotten home from school, and when I walked into my house, everything seemed normal. I walked inside and locked the door behind me before taking my shoes off. And as I was in the process of taking off my shoes, I could have sworn I heard something come from the room where we used to store our moving boxes in the back of the trailer. At first, I assumed it was just a box or the house settling, and I didn't pay the noise any mind. But before I could even stand up from taking my shoes off, I heard it again. This time it worried me a bit, so I decided to call out to see if my mom had come home early. But when I yelled out, there was no response. Still, something felt a bit odd to me, so I decided to check the room out real quick before getting comfortable. I poked my head through the door and looked around, but from what I could tell, nothing had changed, which reassured me that I had in fact heard the house settling. After that, I went about my normal routine. I stepped into my room and put my backpack on my bed before walking back out into the kitchen for a quick snack. I reached into the cabinet and pulled out a fruit roll-up. But before I could open it, I heard another sound coming from the back room. Only this time, it was followed by something that shook me to my core. After the sound of something thumping on the ground in the room, I heard what was undoubtedly a man let out a single cough. I dropped my snack and instinctively began running through the house and toward my bedroom. I'm not sure why I chose my room instead of the front door. Maybe it was where I felt the safest, But either way, I sprinted into my bedroom, which was two doors down from the back room, and without hesitating, I did the only thing I could think of, just like I had seen in movies. I grabbed my wooden desk chair and propped it up against my bedroom door. It was perfect timing, too, because as soon as the door was wedged shut, whoever was in my house began banging up against my bedroom door. I fell back in fear and began looking around to think of what I could do next, and that was when I came to my senses. I looked over to my window and saw my escape. I was able to open it up and push the screen out before climbing through it, and since we lived in a trailer, the window were only about 5 feet off the ground. Once I was out of the house, I quickly ran through my yard and over to my neighbor's house. It only took him a few seconds before he answered the door after I began pounding on it and screaming for help. My neighbor opened the door and I explained to him what was happening. He didn't question it at all, and as soon as he saw the panic in my face, he let me into his house and we both waited there for the police and my mom to arrive home. The police showed up about 30 minutes before my mom did, but it was still too late to catch the intruder. By the time they showed up, he had already left the house. Not before destroying it, though. All three of the rooms appeared to be ransacked, and my mother's jewelry collection was missing. For a while, I ended up staying at my neighbor's house or a friend's house after school while I waited for my mom to get home. I just wasn't comfortable being alone in my house anymore. I will never forget the first weekend that I had the house to myself, and not for the reasons you probably think. I mean, sure, I had a massive party planned, which most likely would have just turned out to be a small hangout session with my friends, but I never reached that point in the weekend. You see, the first night that I had the house to myself, I decided to take it easy and spend most of the time cleaning for the company that I was expecting to come over the following day. I straightened up the living room and the bathroom before wiping down all the counters in the kitchen. And by the time I was finally finished, I had worked up a bit of an appetite. I decided to make myself some breakfast for dinner and began making some scrambled eggs and bacon. Then after eating, I noticed that I made a mess with the bacon grease, so once again, I wiped down the counters, which is where I made my biggest mistake. After wiping down the counter, I left the towel in the same corner that the stove was in. I didn't think anything of the situation and ended up watching a movie by myself before heading into my room and falling asleep. I don't know how long I was asleep for, but I was woken up as I began choking in my sleep. My eyes shot open and could barely see anything that was around me. My room and the rest of the house had been filled with thick, dark smoke, and by the time I had woken up, there was no telling how much I inhaled. I tried to stand, but right away could tell that I was very lightheaded. After managing to sit, I quickly dropped down to my hands and knees and began crawling across the floor underneath the smoke. Crawling on all fours, I made my way out of my bedroom and through the house towards the front door. As I passed by the kitchen, I could see the flickering flames dancing in the corner near the stove. There was nothing I could do at that point, so I just continued to crawl toward the front door. Sadly, by that point, I inhaled too much smoke, and everything around me went dark as I began to pass out. I thought I was a goner, but lucky for me, my neighbor had seen the flames from his house. He apparently busted through the door and pulled me out of the house and saved my life. I didn't wake up until I was already in the ambulance and heading toward the hospital.